It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Time to talk about games. Play my Ryan and Mike. I'm on it. I'm retro. Video game show. Yes, we talk about games. And some sounds of the stuff. Like Star Trek. It's a blast. Our gaming podcast.
Hello and welcome to another Talk About Games. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Mike. Today, we're talking about Zombies Ate My Neighbors for Super Nintendo. What do you have?
I have Untitled Goose Game.
I like that because... A lot of times Ryan will bring a game to the show and I hadn't played it before, but I've actually played Untitled Goose Game when it came out.
Right.
So I can actually contribute something to that. But before we get to our games, I want to just say, you guys will probably be seeing this a little later, but I think yesterday or the day before was Mario Day.
Yeah.
So it's M-A-R number 10, like 10, because it's March 10th.
Right.
But like I said, it's going to happen next year and the year after and whatever. And so I fucking hate that idea of Mario Day.
Right.
Because when did they start doing that? Like a couple years ago?
I think it was like when they started doing like the remember the Year of Luigi?
No.
And all that shit. So there was like the Year of Luigi and it was going to be all Luigi stuff.
Yeah.
And I think it was around then where they started doing, oh, it's March 10th. Right. It's Mario Day. It spells it.
Yeah.
Guys.
Right. So right. Like, I mean, you guys all know, I like love Mario, love the character, got no problem with Mario, right. Love Mario. But like, why? So and then there's also Star Wars, which is... I think they got the idea from...
Right.
The Star Wars thing happened first, right?
May the 4th be with you.
Which is fucking, like, really lame.
Yeah. Well, it comes down to, Pi Day. I think the first offender of this is fucking Pi Day.
Fucking Pi Day.
Fucking Pi Day. So I get a folder that comes home with my daughter. My daughter is 12.
Mm-hmm.
She gets a folder. This fucking red folder
for
comes
school?
Home for school.
Mm-hmm.
And the red folder, it's like, here's the tests, here's the homework grade, here's the disciplinary grade, and there's a little orange piece of paper mm-hmm. in it. And the little orange piece of paper is like, hey, parents, Pi Day is coming. You better bring in a fucking pie-themed thing or you're a bad parent.
Wait, what? You got to bring a pie in?
I got to bring like a pie or a fucking circular-based treat. Or we are celebrating Pi Day, and that means you're a baker now. That means you got to bring a pie thing in, right?
Oh my God, it's so upsetting. And the other thing, Ryan was telling me the whole thing about birthday parties, and everything you tell me is like not one day we're going to have a positive conversation about, what the good parts of having kids are, and one day we're also need to have a conversation about what the good parts about Star Trek are, because we always fucking shit on Star Trek. And I would like to just talk about all the positive things, because Ryan and I can be so fucking negative about everything.
Yeah.
And I know I'm being really negative about this, but it's like, why does it bother me so much? It's just kind of like, here's why I think it bothers me. So we went through, I don't know, 30 years of our lives or something, and there was no 35 years of our lives.
Right.
There was no such thing as Mario Day. There was no May the 4th be with you. None of this stuff. This is only stuff that's developed in the last, 5, 6, 7 years. And I think with the ongoing prevalence of social media, there has been this sort of movement to make almost every fucking day a day. And I think it comes down to merchandising making fucking money. And I think it's disgusting. Not as if selling Mario games isn't a thing to make money anyway, but right. It's like, can't I just enjoy Mario whenever? It's like, oh, Mario Day. There's a new Mario game out, or let's talk about Mario so that they can sell some fucking Mario games. And then when it's Pi Day, everybody buy a fucking pie. It's all, where's the day where it's not about, if there was a day but it wasn't about making money, where's that day? They're always about making money. There's umbrella days. You know, people are like, oh, I should go buy an umbrella. And then the umbrella people are like, fuck yeah.
Yeah, I think it was, you know? I think it was March.
Wah, wah, wah. <You
know? laughs> March 1st, I think it was March 1st, or it might have been in February, it was National Sticky Bun Day.
Go get your sticky bun.
Go get a fucking sticky bun, asshole. Yeah. That's what it was like. And it's so irritating because, you know, you go to Target.
Yeah.
You go to Target and you go in the front and you walk in and they have all like the dollar, $5, five below type shit. Mm-hmm. Then you look through that, past the carts, and there's like a pod. And in the pod, they're like, you know, there's like, oh, it's Christmas. Oh, it's Easter. Oh, it's this. But then it's like, oh, it's Pride Month. So now it's going to be here. And that's very important. And I'm not against Pride Month or anything
like
that.
Right, me either, right.
But what I'm against is fucking commercializing all of these things.
Right.
It's like that little pod has to have that.
Right.
Right? And we have big holidays. We have, you know, Now it's St. Patrick's Day,
to make money,
Valentine's Day.
Make money off of everything.
Everything. It's just commercialized. But we're already getting hit with Valentine's Day, St. Patrick's Day, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, that wasn't enough. Now we have Star Wars Day and Mario Day.
Right.
What's the next day? Are we going to have fucking Street Fighter Day where we fight each other in the street? Like, what's going to happen?
So when is talk about games day, and then everybody in the world has to watch a fucking episode of our fucking show.
Yeah, we're gonna have Dark Souls Day where you stab your fucking neighbor. Like, how bad could it be? Right? Buy a sword.
So that's why I have a problem. I don't like Mario Day, but it's not just that. I don't like any of these fucking days.
Any of these days.
I don't like holidays.
Right.
I don't like anniversaries. I also don't like fucking anniversaries. I don't want anything. Can I just live one fucking day where it's not a birthday, anniversary, Mario Day, Umbrella Day, Cake Day? Like, fucking shit.
Well, you get a call.
Can we just have, like, I can walk outside and there's a blue sky and I don't hear about what fucking day it is.
Right. Well, you know why? Because, like, for me, holidays have the opposite reaction. Like, you're supposed to be like, oh, isn't it great? It's a holiday. We're doing this thing.
Yeah, but every other day is a fucking holiday.
We're like May 1st. I wake up and I'm like, what am I going to do for my fucking mom for Mother's Day? What am I going to? Oh, God. Oh, I got to do this.
Yeah.
I got to have a plan.
Right.
I got to spend money. I got to set up a thing. And if I don't, I'm a bad person.
Right.
Imagine that. Buy our products or you are a bad person.
And that's the way all this marketing shit is. And this very much goes into video games. And this is something I feel very strongly about because I, you know, I stream all the time. And whenever a new game comes out, it's, Mike, are you going to play Elden Ring? That's the one this week.
Yeah.
And like, I want to play Elden Ring. Looks like I saw somebody streaming it. I actually rated a guy who was streaming it. The game looks awesome. I want to play it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not the games. It's that the guilt factor in advertising, merchandising, whatever. Is they make you feel guilty. Oh, did you see the new Batman movie yet? That's the other thing with movies. Did you see the new movie yet? Did you see it? Like you're. You did something wrong because you didn't go see it immediately. Why can't I see it in 3 years? And you can't, they don't want you to see it in 3 years because they want that initial, you know, that when movies with opening weekend and it's like, oh, did it flop opening weekend and all that? Because it looks bad on them. Mm-hmm. For their next movie and their next thing that they're going to release, the next Batman movie. Oh, we might not make the next Batman movie because the last one flopped opening weekend, and they don't want that. It's because money.
So they trained all the people. It's like Pavlov's dogs ringing the fucking bell. They're like, new movie's out. Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
Better see it.
Yeah.
You don't want to miss out.
Yeah. Our society is fucking disgusting.
Yeah. It's like, how do you fall for that? Don't fall for that. You know what you should do? Next time Big Thing comes out, be like, fuck you. I'm playing Zombies Ate My Neighbors. That's what you should say.
That was a very well done transition.
Right.
Very good.
Great. Right,
so, yeah.
Not if you draw attention to it.
Because all the guys, I like to ruin it for you. You know, a lot of you guys are like, thank God that's over. Because I came here to fucking hear about like a Super Nintendo game. Like, can you stop talking about what the fuck? We get it. Like,
we get it. You guys are angry.
We get it. You're angry. Angry and old. Yeah, which we are.
Right.
I'm very old. I'm getting older. Anyway, so I didn't have Zombies Ate My Neighbors growing up.
No,
I didn't play it until much later. It's probably in my 20s. First time I even tried it.
Yeah. LucasArts Publishing.
So you've played it.
Yeah.
What do you think of it?
I like it. I haven't like mastered it. Like
not many people have.
I've played it.
Yeah.
I have fun when I play it.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like I know a lot about it. Like, what weapons am I supposed to have? Where am I supposed to go? Like, how do I manage my ammo? How many levels are there?
It's a lot.
There's a lot to it. And I think that's hard. I pick up the squirt gun and shoot some guys and go
for 10 minutes and then you're good. And
it's like,
you
die
and move on to the next game.
Yeah.
I think that's most people's experience. And a lot of people, I think, like this game for the idea and what it is. It's like, you know, like Halloween time comes around and it's like, oh, I'm going to play the Nightmare on Elm Street game. I'm going to play Zombies Ate My Neighbors. I'm going to play like, you know, whatever, Friday the 13th and all the horror games.
Yeah.
And it gets lumped in Halloween time and whatever. And I feel like, you know, Halloween time will come around and I'll play a bunch of Halloween games and all that stuff or horror games, whatever. But I kept thinking about this game and it's like, well, I've beaten a lot of those other games like Splatterhouse and Friday the 13th and like all that stuff. And so I got to Zombies Ate My Neighbor because, you know, I like the challenges and whatever. So I'm like, all right, Zombies Ate My Neighbors. Like now I'm down to this one. I want to actually like sit down and like try to beat it. And I have not beat it yet at the time that this is being recorded. I don't know if I'll be able to, but we'll see.
Wow, it's that hard.
Oh, it's very, 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 very hard.
Yeah.
It's 55 levels.
Okay.
So it's very daunting. It's a very long game. And so it's a game that is sort of based on, you know, old horror movies. There's like Frankenstein and vampires and werewolves and Creature from the Black Lagoon and, you know, Mars Attacks kind of stuff.
Right.
It's all that kind of stuff.
I like the people you save because they have a lot of personality and they're very well animated.
Yeah, there's like a cheerleader and there's a dog and a baby and all this stuff. And it's like, and there's a guy flipping burgers and stuff like that. And you got to save them all. And they're all worth like different points and stuff. And so the thing about this game, you can just play it like that. Like I can imagine like going to Blockbuster or a local video store back then and renting it and picking it up and just having fun with it. And I think that's probably the way most people played it. But if you're going to like get anywhere in this game, you're going to have to start knowing what you're doing. So I ended up making a whole chart about this because you have to know what does what.
Okay.
So like, for example, there's mummies.
Yes.
And you have all these different weapons, but soda is what kills the mummies really quickly. Or there's werewolves, and what would you use to kill a werewolf?
Silver.
Like a silver bullet,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But in this game, there's like silverware, like forks and knives stuff like that.
That's
so
cool.
It mostly makes sense. Like there's, you know, what's that movie? The Blob?
Yeah.
In the Blob movie, like the thing that hurts the Blob, spoiler alert, is like cold because it's like a jelly thing and it doesn't like the cold. So in this game there's like jelly things that's kind of like the Blob, so you get like popsicles or anything that's like, there's like another thing that you shoot on it that freezes it. Any kind of cold thing hurts that. So all that stuff like usually makes sense. For vampires you use a cross, and a lot of enemies there's multiple things that will hurt them. Like werewolves, they can be hurt by silver stuff, but they can also be hurt by a cross. But it's always something that usually makes sense.
Right.
Which
well,
is
that's
cool.
Good, because I hate sometimes, you look at a game and like the things that things are weak against like don't quite make sense.
Sometimes.
Like
yeah.
Crystalis. Mm. The sword colors didn't really match exactly. And you could figure it out, but you had to take that extra step. It wasn't intuitive.
That's a very good example. Like, you might not be able to guess that without, knowing, yeah. So I started going one by one, and I made this chart myself. And I was saying this on stream, but, like, I could have went online and probably just looked up all this information. But I've done that in the past where I'm playing a game and then I look it up online. And then over the years, because I'm older now, I've realized that when I go online and I do that, it's not fun to go online. And it's like you're playing the game and then you go over here and you're clicking around. And you're like, all right, where's the thing? Like, it ruins it.
Right.
I want the experience to be either in game. Or I'll have a piece of paper next to me and take my own notes, like I did here, if I need to. Or have a friend with you that maybe has played the game before. Like if I sat down with you and played Zelda 2 or something, like something, or Roger Rabbit, something that I know really well. I'd be like, oh, you know what you got to do here, Ryan? You got to get the whatever.
Like, I don't know. I bet you that you know the cave sequence in Death Mountain.
Yeah.
I bet you know it.
I do.
I don't.
Yeah.
But if I played it and you were like, oh, you know, go this, like, that'd be fine.
Yeah, I'd be like, oh, you got to go right here to this cave, to this one, to get down to the bottom, to get in the hole. Like, I can almost do it. I could probably draw it out.
Right.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So anyway, there's a lot to this game. And this is like one of those games that people try to speed run. But when people go to try to speed run it, a lot of times they don't even complete it.
Wow.
Like, even beat it. Like, this is, I mean, there are people that have, obviously, but this is a very tough game.
Yeah.
And like I said, one of the things that makes it so hard is it's so many fucking levels. And here's the real kicker, though, with this game is that,
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Basically, you go, you have to go into each level and you got to save 10 victims, which is like I said, like the good guys, like the cheerleader and the baby, you got to save and all this stuff. And let's say one of them dies though, like a zombie kills the baby or something. On the next
level, God,
on the next level,
yeah.
Then there's only 9 victims.
Really,
it carries over to the next level. So yeah. Let's say 2 more die. So now 3 are dead out of the 10. Now you get to the third level, and now there's only 7 victims left. You can get victims back that you have to save, but it's every 40,000 points, and it takes a while to get there. So. And a lot of times these enemies are faster than you are.
Right.
So let's say there's a werewolf or like the evil dolls or something like that. They'll just run and they'll kill the victim. And it was like all the way in the corner of the screen. And there was no way you're going to get up there.
So you need to have some victims in reserve.
You have to have some reserve victims. So it's.
That's a funny sentence.
It's rough. And. So let's say you're playing it, you're getting, you know, level through level, but then you get to, let's say, stage 20 or something like that, and then the zombie or whoever, a vampire, kills your last victim, and then it's game over. But on each stage, you get a password. So you're like, oh, well, I made it to stage 20 or whatever. I'm just going to start again. I'll use the password. And like I said, the real kicker, here's the real kicker. So you put the password in, and when you start with no items.
Yes.
So.
And you don't have your popsicles and your crosses and all the shit you need to fight the guys.
That you collected. Yeah. And when you're playing this game, like let's say you're going through level one, level two, level three, you can collect the 10 victims. But then you're not just running to the exit yet. You're going, you're searching the houses, you're searching the trash cans, you're searching the whole level because you want to collect as much stuff as you can because you need it. So, because there's certain enemies that are very difficult, like there's chainsaw Leatherface guys, and like you might need to freeze them. So you need the fire extinguisher thing, or you might want to shoot bazooka things at them or whatever. Like you need all these items and there's only so much of it and you can run out. So every single level, before you get in that door, you want to make sure you have pretty much all the collectibles and shit before you move on. So, yeah, like I said, you get to stage 20, you die. You cannot just put that fucking code in and start on level 20. You're back on level 1, and there's 55 fucking levels. Now, and on top of that, there's bosses. So a lot of people, when I was streaming, they said, oh, I made it to the first boss, the giant baby, and he kills me, and then that's as far as I ever make it.
Right.
And, like, that's it. Yeah. That's the most as they've seen. So, like, the giant baby, there's different things you can do with the giant baby. He runs all over the screen, and there are victims on the screen, and the baby takes up the whole fucking screen. And he's running around like crazy, and he just kills, like, 5 of the victims, and you're like, that's basically, like, you might as well reset the Super Nintendo right then.
Right.
But you can get a decoy item, kind of like in Toe Jam and Earl.
Yeah,
There's similarities between Toe Jam and Earl in this game. And you can drop a decoy, and then the enemies, or it's kind of also like the meat in Zelda.
Yeah.
There's your Zelda reference, where the enemy will go towards the item to give you a chance to do the stuff that you need to do. So if you throw the decoy down, you can go save the victims. There's like these strategies that you have to learn. And the only way you're going to know this stuff is by playing over.
Is anything random, or is it always exactly the same?
There's a lot of randomness to this, which is what makes it also hard. So let's get into talking about that. So the randomness. So let's say there's like a house in the game or whatever. And it's like you open a door. There's keys and stuff. You get a key. You open a door. Now you're in a house. And there's drawers, and you go to open the drawer. On this playthrough, the drawer might have a rocket launcher in it, and you're like, oh, great. But if you play the game again and you go to that exact same drawer, it might be empty, or it might be a monster inside. It could be anything.
Wow.
It's totally random. So because of the fact that this game is RNG like that, it's randomness, there's a thing that happens on the very first stage, and I have it written down here. So lives are also involved in this, because you have like a certain set of number of lives, because if you run out of lives you die, or if you run out of victims you die. There's two ways you can
do you keep your items when you lose a life?
Yes.
Good.
Yes. That much. Yes, you do.
Yeah.
So on the first stage there's the 10 victims, you go around and you collect them, but there's a thing that you can do to go to a bonus stage to get an extra life.
Yeah.
And extra lives are very hard to get in this game. So this is where the RNG is involved. And you walk around the stage, and like I said, you open drawers, or you open up a trash can, and there may or may not be an item inside. But on the first stage, let's say you open all the things on the stage, you don't get anything very good, and then you just move on to the next stage. Well, then you're not going to get to the bonus stage. But reset the Super Nintendo. Try stage 1 again. Go through the trash. Go through the building. All the stuff. Open the drawers. And if you get a rocket launcher, the rocket launcher can blow open walls and stuff.
Right.
So you blow open this one wall, and you get a little question mark thing. And then when you go in the exit door, it takes you to the bonus stage. And that's how you get to the first bonus stage. When you get to the bonus stages, that's how you can get extra lives.
So are you, let's say that you're playing the game,
mm-hmm.
and you don't get it. Are you resetting?
Depends how you want to play it.
Right.
It's only one extra life. If it happens to come up, I'll do it. But
right.
I just go if I don't get it. Because you have to like collect items and stuff anyway. It's like kind of whatever. But there's certain levels that there are extra lives. I have it written down here. There's 1B, or the first level you can. Level 7, there's an extra life you can get where it's you're in this like castle, and then there's like hidden walls and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
You go through a hidden wall, and then there's like a Frankenstein laboratory. And you go through that, and then there's like a hidden life there. But you have to like, then that's like one of those things. It's like, okay, I'm gonna write that down. I found this hidden life, so I wrote it down, right? Because the next time I play it, I might not remember that. It's like, oh shit, was that stage 6? Was that right. stage 10? Like, what stage was that happened on?
Yeah.
You know? So that's why, like, I recommend if you're going to play this game, like, make yourself a fucking chart. And there's other crazy shit, too. Like, on stage 22, there is a flamethrower in this game. And the only place in the entire game, as far as I know, that you can get the flamethrower, which apparently is really good for killing the final boss of the game, which I haven't even seen yet.
Right.
Is on level 22, and how you get that is there's like a special door that you got to go in, and there's like a little question mark thing, but then there's a hidden wall, and you go through this hidden wall, and that's where the flamethrower is, but you can't even get into there because you need a skeleton key to open the door, and the skeleton key isn't on level 22. It's like it's on level 15. So
that's such a separation. It's not even one level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have to have like extra skeleton keys from previous levels to open a door on a later level to.
Wow.
You know.
Yeah.
Kind of reminds me of like a Temple of Doom kind of thing. It's like it's fucked up. So there's that. You have all these different potions that you can use. There's the red monster potion where you drink that and your guy turns into a monster, and then you can go around, you can punch stuff, and that item is really great because you can there'd be like a hedge and you can like punch through the hedge, and then you can get into different areas and stuff, and you can also beat up bosses with the monster potion. So that's a really good item. And there's really annoying bosses in this game. Like if you consider a boss, but there's like this UFO that'll come, and the only way, I've never even killed one, but the UFO fucking comes in and shoots like lightning and shit down at you, and you're like, what the fuck? So I learned that you can hurt it. Like one time I threw like this soda can at it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I hurt it, but I wasn't. And then I start throwing just fucking soda cans at it and nothing's happening. I'm like, I know I heard it. I saw it like flash or something.
Yeah.
There's like a specific spot.
Oh my gosh.
On the UFO in the bottom left corner that a hatch opens, and you have to throw the fucking soda at the hatch. And it's like, so when that's on the football level where it's like a football field. And when I get to that level, I'm just like, get the fucking victims and get out, because that thing just, it's like, it's like that fucking poster. It's like space invaders. It's like, it's like fucking crazy.
Wow.
So there's a strategy to this. Is what you have to do is when a neighbor dies, like I said, it carries over to the next level. So they die. But how do you get the neighbors back? You have to get 40,000 points.
Okay.
And another thing that sucks is you might be like, well, why don't you just stand and farm? Like shoot a bunch of zombies and you can get more points back. So the zombies only give you 100 points if you shoot a zombie.
Right.
And they're just popping out of the ground and shit.
You'll
and
waste all your ammo.
And you only have a certain amount of... Exactly.
Right.
You only have a certain amount of ammo. So you could run out of ammo, and it takes fucking forever. So then you might be like, okay, well, what if I farm an enemy that has more... gives you more points? I went down the list.
Okay.
Of guys. And zombies give you 100 points. Mummies give you 100 points. Like, the fire babies give you 400. The chainsaw, the leather face guys give you 800 points, but they're really fucking hard to kill.
Right.
So it's like, I tried that. I tried the farming shit. You're not farming in this game.
Right.
Like, there's no easy way out, like they said in Rocky 3, Rocky 4. There's no easy way out with this game. And this is why a lot of people haven't beaten this game. It's like every way you try to go, it's like you just get fucked.
You're not playing in Mega Man X where you're hopping and shooting the guy and getting all your life back before you fight Sigma. It's not happening.
No, this is like, like, do you know anybody that's ever beaten this game?
No.
I don't either.
Wow.
Like, and I still have, you know what I mean? That's why I really like, so you might be like, well, is this game good? Is it bad? I think it's mostly good. There's some annoying things about it. Oh my God, I didn't even talk about the big the really bad thing about it. So okay. Here's the really bad thing about it is the way you select your weapons
right.
and your items. So
you don't just flip through it with shoulder buttons?
It's not the shoulder buttons. It's so it's what is it on the Super Nintendo? It's the Y, the X, the A, and the B.
Yeah.
So the bottom buttons are like how you fire.
Yeah.
The top buttons are how you select through them. But like, so you have like, you might get like 20 different weapons. Yeah. Or something, or so you're on the, like the water gun, which I think is like holy water because you're killing like zombies and shit. So there's like holy water, and then there's like the fire extinguisher, then there's soda, and then there's like a Martian ray gun, and then you know there's all these fucking weapons. You start selecting through them, and you're like. Okay, so I am fighting right now, let's say, the creature from the Black Lagoon guy.
Okay.
And he is hurt mostly by the cross or by forks, like silverware. He's another one of those guys, right?
Yeah.
So, okay, I got to cycle through all my things until I get to the silverware. Oh, I passed it.
There's no back.
There's no back. So let me cycle through it again. So what you're doing is I got to walk to a safe area, cycle through all the things till I get to the silverware. Hopefully I don't pass it. And then I'm like, all right, I'm on the silverware. Now let me walk over to the guy. But it's that's if you're lucky. But you, a lot of times you're surrounded by enemies. And it's like I'm – so then I'm like running around the enemies trying to cycle through the thing to get to the right item. Because if I start shooting the creature from the Black Lagoon guy with the water gun, he's going to fucking kill me. Because he's gonna over, because they're fast. He's gonna overtake you. It's like you're fucked. So it's like people fondly remember this game.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of surprised in a way, but I think people finally remember it for like the graphics and the idea of it.
And the music is good.
And the music is really good. The music's actually really, really good.
Yeah.
But it's like. I don't think people really are fondly remembering it for the gameplay, other than like, oh yeah, that's a hard game, but like, you know, it's really flawed. And I thought of a way to fix this game.
Yeah.
So the cycling through the weapons fucking sucks. And what you should do is you can pause the game. And when you pause, nothing happens. It just like makes the screen still.
Yeah, yeah.
When you pause... You should be able to cycle through the weapons when it's paused.
Yeah.
And then I know some people might be like, that's cheap. Like, there's guys that beat this game and they didn't have to do that. I know. But, like, I feel like that's one way they could have, like, fixed that. Yeah. And another thing is you might not know how many, like, lives you have because it doesn't display it on the screen until you go to the next level. That's the only time you see that. But if you're in the middle of a level and you're like, shit, am I on my last guy? Am I going to die right now? Like, that's information you might need to know. Again, if you had the game paused, a thing could come up and it could say, you have 2 lives left.
Yeah.
Another thing they don't show is what fucking level you're on. Because like I'm saying here, maybe on level 7, I need to know that it's the secret path to get to Frankenstein's lair or whatever to get the extra life. Well, I don't fucking have any idea what level I'm on right now. Well, there's 55 fucking levels. I'm supposed to remember them all. There's no way. So the only way you know, like I said, when it goes from level 6 to level 7, in between, they tell you what level. So if you happen to miss that or whatever, and you're in the middle of level, again, when you pause the fucking game, it should say what level you're on.
You have to, like, mark it like a prisoner marking days.
It's like when we had the board, you're just making, like, lines. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like, and that's what I feel like. I'm in my fucking house. I feel like a prisoner playing this fucking game. Like, it's over and over, trying to get through the 55 fucking levels. Mm-hmm. I mean...
Do you remember when we reviewed the Prison Architect?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, when we first started doing our show, we...
The old version of the show.
The old Talk About Games, or Mike and Ryan. It was Mike and Ryan. I'm like, hey, Mike, why don't we do an episode? We're doing Prison Architect. Why don't we wear costumes? And I went to Spirit Halloween and I bought these these prison like orange jumpsuits.
Yeah.
And I bought like fake tattoos that you like put over. And I bought like a ball and chain, like a plastic ball and chain.
And I'm like, this is what we're doing, huh?
And I'm sitting there and I bought a fake cigarette. Uh-huh. And he walks in and I'm sitting there with the fake cigarette.
He's in this whole fucking costume. Yeah.
You ready to film?
Yeah, I'm like, what? Did we shoot it in the costumes?
Yeah.
Did we?
We did.
I don't even remember.
I made like a brick wall. Like it was like too much.
You got like really into that.
I got really into that one.
I mean, I don't know.
That's what it made me think of.
So like, I'm like fucking bipolar. So, some days I'll be like, I'll be like into that. I'll be like, oh, cause like I'll be on stream. I'm like dressed as the fucking Joker, right?
Yeah.
So like, if I'm in the mood, I'll do something like. But other days, I'm like, what the fuck are we doing in these fucking costumes? Bunch of assholes, you know?
Yeah.
So it just depends what I fucking feel like. A lot of times, I feel like different about like. You ask me one day how I feel about something, I'm like, oh, fuck that. You ask me another day, I'm like, oh, that's pretty good. It's like a psychopath, you know? Anyway, so I don't know. I don't know if I'm ever going to beat this fucking game. I'm going to keep trying, though. Like, I'm going to come back to it. And by the way, like, a little while ago, we did a video on, like, Smash TV.
Yeah.
Like, I still haven't beaten it. But wow. I would like to someday. So a lot of these games, you know, if I bring them to this show or I'm streaming them, and people, a lot of times they were like, well, you didn't finish that game. I'm not necessarily going to be able to beat every single game.
Yeah.
And it also, if I stop playing a game, it doesn't mean that I might not beat it like a year later, 2 years later. I finally just beat Friday the 13th a month or two ago or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I've been playing that game since I was, you know... 15 or whatever.
I think we had a conversation about this recently where you're like, you know, yeah, when I'm on stream, I'm playing all the games I want to play,
mm-hmm.
but it's also like a show for like entertainment purposes. And nobody wants to see somebody just sitting week after week after week after week. And you don't want to sit and play. You may love a game,
mm-hmm.
but eventually you have to move on to keep things fresh, to keep things moving.
I just get, you know, I get burned out on something.
Yeah, exactly.
And I might come back later. Like, I was doing Mario 2, like, no hit, no...
Yeah.
I made Mario 2 as hard as I possibly fucking could.
Right.
And I was trying, and I couldn't quite get it. I think I could if I sat there long enough, but I'm doing this, like, 20 hours or something. Yeah. I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna come back to this, like... with a fresh mind in a couple of years.
Yeah.
And I'll do it someday. Right. But like, you know. So anyway.
That's good.
Untitled Goose Game. That's my transition. Do you like it?
Oh, Untitled. Wow.
I said the title of the fucking
great
game.
Untitled.
Yeah.
You didn't even say the
title.
I
didn't try.
Because it doesn't have one. Yeah. No, it doesn't. Do we want to talk about the thing that I wanted to talk about
before goose geese gooses
we get to geese.
I want to lay a gold egg for Easter.
Holy shit. That's where we are.
Yeah.
So I played Untitled Goose Game. Untitled Goose Game was made by a developer I never heard of called House House.
No, we're talking about that. What thing?
Oh, our podcast was in the podcast chart rankings. It was number 38 in Canada.
Look at us.
Wow.
Yeah.
No.
Thanks, Canadians.
Yeah, no, it was really good. And it's so close, to the top 100 in the United States.
Okay.
It was like 109.
Right.
Like, so close.
Do you think there's a guy listening to this right now and he's like, I don't fucking care. Tell me about fucking, tell me about Mario 3.
I'm sure he would love to know about Mario 3.
Right.
Right. But then there's all the appreciative fans who we love so much that made us on this podcast chart, which is really great. So the podcast charts are really important because they show everybody we're working with that we're you know, you're all watching. And a lot of things go into podcast charts, but I was surprised just how many of you are listening on audio only, on Spotify,
right,
and on Apple, and on all of that. But one of the things that would be really amazing and really awesome is if you're listening on Spotify or Apple, or if you'd like to listen on Spotify and Apple, is if you left us a review about the podcast.
So when we originally like started doing this, you know, podcast, I thought that we were only gonna be audio.
Yeah.
And then... we're like, okay, oh, well, I might as well put it on YouTube, too, if we're doing it. It's like killing two birds with one stone, kind of. It's like, might as well film it and make it audio. I guess that's what everybody does now. I don't
right.
even know. But, yeah, I mean, originally I thought of this as it was going to be just audio. So, yeah, absolutely. You know, I listen to podcasts sometimes, but usually I'm in my car.
Right.
That's when I end up like listening to stuff for like a long time, because it's like there's nothing to do. You're just driving, you know. And I listen to Star Trek podcasts here and there. That's what I listen to.
You're in the ready room.
Right. Or I like what's it called? I listen to the original series one. I can't think of the name of it.
Standard Orbit?
Yes. I listen to Standard Orbit. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
If you guys could go and just like leave a comment on any of those podcasts. Well, how did they do it actually?
So if you go to Apple Podcasts and you review the podcast, it's like a star rating.
Okay.
And then you can leave a comment.
Remember when YouTube had like star ratings back in the early days?
Oh yeah. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was way better.
Yeah. Old YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So there's like a star rating you can leave, and then you can leave a comment, you can leave a review, and that tells the evil algorithm that we are doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So I think if we do that, we're all going to get onto the charts and everyone's going to be happy. So
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I know a lot of like people that watch the premieres and leave comments. You know, I think you guys seem to like this podcast. I don't know. If you fucking hate it, like, that's fine, too. Like, everybody's entitled to their fucking opinions, you know, and everything.
Right.
You know? Like I said, I listened to that Star Trek podcast.
Yeah.
And, I'm certainly very opinionated about Star Trek. Like, I fucking hate all the new Star Treks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe this probably isn't the best time to talk about this, but I don't know. Guys, I think people seem to like this. You guys like this shit?
You know what I like about those podcasts is that those guys are like pretty chill. They're not like overly...
Like us.
Like us.
Yeah.
Like we're very intense. They're like...
Yeah, people are like, I don't know about Mike. He's very... opinionated, and it's like, yeah, because I have opinions.
Yeah.
But isn't that a good thing to have opinions?
Like, I think so, especially if you're talking.
You know what the problem though is because it's the way I have an opinion.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I get so overly passionate about it that it probably comes off like shitty.
Yeah. Like why do you care? Why do you care, Mike?
Yeah.
I like passion. I like I like feeling.
Right.
Like I need to like feel.
Yeah.
You know.
I can't be like one of these people who's like, hey guys, what's up? Imagine if this podcast was like that. Hey guys, today we're going to talk about zombies ate my neighbors. And did you know that the werewolves have if you use a weed whacker on the werewolves and you get 300 points.
You're watching Talk About Games. And today we're going to talk about...
Tell me about this fucking goose.
Untitled Goose Game.
Tell me about the fucking goose.
So, Untitled Goose Game is a game, like I said, made by House House, who I've never heard of. But it was published by Panic, which is weird because Panic's a software company and not a video game company. But they're coming out with the play date. So it's those guys.
Oh, those guys.
The guys
making
the yellow
crank.
The
little crank thing.
Yeah, that's who published it.
That's cool.
It's got like these flat, pleasing... inoffensive colors, and you are a goose, and you're a goose, and you're in the world.
Would it be considered like cel shaded?
I guess it's like a
sort of stylized,
very stylized. This is like a art house, Untitled Goose Game, right? It's just very like, very like chill, and you come out, and you're a goose, and you're an asshole. Right,
yeah, I played that's it. What you are. That's what you are.
You
like dragging the fucking rake and shit.
you're like stupid.
Dude, the fucking guy, the poor guy. He's you know, doing his fucking farm and shit. And the goose is like, I'm gonna open the fucking door. I'm gonna take the carrot. And the guy's like, give me the carrot back.
You know what's funny? The people in this game are like the nicest European, like they're just living their lives,
and you're like a shitty goose.
You're like the worst goose. you're out, and you're flapping, and you're honking, and you're pecking, and you're like, but you're like solid snake. You're like a stealth attack goose, right? But it's like very chill. You're in like IKEA land. You're in like happy Europe,
yeah.
And you show up, and you land on the beach like it's the beach of Normandy, right? And you're coming.
Right.
And you show up at a farm and you get missions. And the overarching mission is ruin this farmer's day.
Yeah.
So you show up and you're like, they're like, get in. So what do? You turn on the sprinkler and make him wet. And then he's like, oh, I got to turn off the sprinkler. So he walks out and opens the gate. Then you get in and it's like, oh, you're going to have a picnic.
Yeah.
So you steal a bunch of his shit.
Yeah.
And put it on a blanket out by the river.
Right.
Right. And then it's like,
I remember doing that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's like, oh, you know, he starts putting out, after you do like the basic missions, he starts putting out like a no goose sign. And then you get behind him.
Yeah.
And he's about to hammer the goose sign in the ground and you're like, honk.
Yeah.
And he hits his thumb and falls over.
Why doesn't he just fucking like Elmer Fudd, like blow the fucking goose away?
Because it's not that kind of game. Huh. This game takes place in Europe.
Dude, I'd have it be like Project Brutality.
Right?
Fucking blow the fucking goose's head off.
Right?
Right.
No, but
I think it's a different game.
He's like very like, they like shoo you away.
Yeah.
Like everybody here is like a pacifist.
No, no goose.
No, no goose.
No, no, no.
And you're like, and you're like, I'm coming.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And you can just keep messing with people.
Yeah.
Right. So eventually you knock him out like Glass Joe and you steal his hat.
Yeah.
And
how do you knock him out? I don't remember.
He's hammering the sign.
Yeah.
You honk when he's about to swing on the sign. He hits his thumb. Ooh. And he falls over.
Oh.
And when he falls over, he opens the gate.
Okay.
And then you find
cracks his skull on the back of the fence.
And then you steal his hat.
And then you take it. And then, when he's on the ground, like pass out, you take his fucking hat.
And you take his fucking hat and throw it in the river
and run. Right? God, what a great, this game's great.
It's dark, yeah, right? Yeah, if you think about it. But that opens the door. And then you find out that this is an open world game.
Yeah.
Because you're on the high street. Now, we don't talk about high streets because we're Americans. We talk about Main Street. But this is Europe. So we're on the high street.
Okay.
Right?
You get in the flat.
We're getting in the
whatever.
Flat.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's like the there's like the phone booth, like the yeah. British phone booth.
You're not jerking it, you're wanking it.
Yeah, you're wanking
there's
it.
There's all that.
You're riding a lift. It's not an elevator.
Yeah.
That's where you are.
You're on the other side of the car.
Yeah.
Mr. Bean's there.
Right.
Like,
it's crazy.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. The game itself, the gameplay, like the you beat this, right?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is the end of this game?
So, at the end of this fucking game, you do the farm, and you do the high street, and you do the couple in their backyard, and then you do the bar, the pub, sorry.
What do you mean,
pub.
You do it?
You
what do you gotta do?
You ruin these people's lives.
Is that, yeah, right? The whole game you're just ruining. Right? It's just the bar, you like knocking the bottles over? Like, what are you doing?
You're like you're throwing the pint glasses in the lake.
Yeah.
And then you make a trail of tomatoes.
Yeah.
And the freaking guy, like the bouncer, follows the trail of tomatoes. And then you throw a bucket on his head.
Oh, my God.
And you're like hiding under the tables. And they're like trying to get you. And you're like under the deck. And you're like,
So where's the challenge? Were there points of the game where you had a hard time?
So it's like
doing the different challenges.
So you get like a test. And it's like break the broom.
Mm-hmm.
Full stop.
Okay.
Okay. So the broom is held by the lady, and the lady shoos you away with it, right? So what you do to break the broom is you wait till she's shooing you, and you bite the front of the broom and start walking in the opposite direction, and it rips apart.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
But that's not very intuitive. They're like with the tomatoes, which is the last challenge, it's like drop a bucket on the old man's head. Well, the bucket is all the way over there. So it's like, how am I going to get the man over there?
Yeah, like,
right?
Yes. Yeah,
they're like, get in the pub. What do? Well, you go out back and there's a box and you hide in it like you're Solid Snake. And then the lady carries you into the pub.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's like this, like, it's a combination of like stealth, but you can also like brute force things.
Right.
Like, there's a part where it's like, lock the kid in the phone booth.
Mm-hmm.
You just go up to him and you just honk at him.
Yeah.
And just start chasing him and flap and honk. And then he like freaks out. And then you scare him into the booth.
Okay.
Right? So you're doing all that. You get through the end of the pub. you run off the trash can, you jump down, and all of a sudden, you're in this miniature city. And let me tell you, there's nothing more European than miniature cities. Fucking, you go to Disney, you go to, you know, Germany, in Disney World, it's a freaking miniature city.
Yeah.
Right?
The train's gone.
They love that shit.
I know, exactly.
So,
yeah,
that's where you are, miniature city time. You're going, and you go through the miniature city, which is a copy of the city that you just went through.
Are you not going to, like, level your backyard and put, a miniature city in your backyard?
My whole family's German. I'm thinking about it.
I'm German, too.
Yeah.
I'm German, but I don't want...
No.
I'm part German.
Sometimes I wake up at night in cold sweats. I'm like, miniature city!
Right. Yeah, I have no desire for a miniature city.
No, I kind of do.
You do? Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah?
It'd be neat, yeah.
What would your miniature city be like?
I don't know. It'd be like a Christmas city, but it'd be fucked up. Like, weird things would be happening.
A fucked up Christmas city?
Fucked up Christmas city. Like, there'd be like a tree with a rope on it. Like, in the back or yeah, something. Fuck. Right? But it would look like normal. Like, at face value.
Dude, I want to come over to your house one day. I walk into your backyard. There's like a fucking city. You're like sitting there in a tent. You're like, Mike, come check my fucking city out.
Right.
I made it with popsicle sticks.
Yeah. So the end of the game is a miniature city,
yeah,
and there's a tower in the miniature city. And you show up, and it's not a puzzle. You just have to fuck up the tower. You just, like, bite it and honk at it and pull on it, and eventually you knock down the freaking tower in the middle of the miniature city.
Okay.
And a bell falls down.
Yeah.
And you're all the way up here. Your little goosey home is all the way down here. And now you're holding the bell. If you run, it goes ding, ding, ding.
Wait, are you trying to get the bell back?
So now you got to get the bell back through the entire game back to where you found it.
I say.
But where you started.
But the bell is like ringing, right?
Not if you walk slow.
Oh, my God. Right? I would probably hate that. Yeah.
Yeah. If you drop it. And the other thing is, if you drop it, it goes ding. And all the people in the town they know.
And what happens when they
They got their anti-goose signs up.
Oh, God.
The whole town is full of no goose. No,
well, there's
geese.
Good reason for that. He's been terrorizing the whole fucking town.
Yeah.
I mean.
So.
Maybe if the goose wasn't such a fucking dick, like.
Yeah.
They wouldn't.
Yeah.
Like, why does he want to get the bell anyway? Because the game says get the bell.
Yeah. I'm like a method actor. I got to think of, like. Be the goose.
What is the goose thinking?
What is the goose's motivation? You know, I sit there and there's a single spotlight what is the shining down on me.
What is the goose thinking?
Right?
We're doing this podcast. I'm like, what's the goose thinking about? Yeah, you're like, I don't fucking know.
I don't know. It says
the fucking instructions.
If I hit the select button, it says, right, get bell.
Get the fucking bell.
Back,
yeah,
fucker. That's what it says, right?
My God. So do you like this game?
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. So I get the bell back. And then you get the bell back to the beginning. And then the camera pans over. And there's a pit. You know we love pits on this show. And in the pit, it's just a fuck ton of bells.
You're not talking about Kid Icarus.
No.
Yeah.
There's just a...
There's a fuck ton of bells because
bells.
What is
because
he gone? The goose has gone all over town collecting all these bells.
Or I think the feeling of this,
yes,
the emotion of the moment, is that he's done this before
he's
and he'll
it
do
before.
It again.
He'll do it again.
Yeah,
I like it.
Right,
that's what he wants to do.
You know,
and then he like looks at the camera. He's like, see. Look at the fucking hole. Look at all the bells I got. Fuck you.
Right.
Those are my bells. Yeah.
Right?
It's like, you know, like a cat brings home the mouse and they drop it at the front door. And
right.
Like, look what I did. And you're like, yeah. Now the bell's not on the fucking tree anymore. You're like, not yeah, great. Thanks for showing me the fucking mouse. Like,
right.
You know.
I want the sequel to this game to be like super dystopian. They have like torches and pitchforks. Like, it's gone too far. Like, the game starts...
Oh, the sequel. I didn't even think about
it. The game starts, and he's on, like, a mountain of bells. Like, there's just too many bells.
It gets really dark.
And he's sitting on it, and he's like, very, like very angry.
Right. He's like shaking.
And all around, like the town's just destroyed. It's like fire. It looks like.
And what would happen if everything's destroyed? He goes to hell.
It's like post-war.
Yeah.
Post-goose war situation. Fire and brimstone.
You just walk around the dead body.
Like, just walk around like
it's like way after everything's happened.
And it's just every bell.
Yeah.
Goose.
The goose is walking around us like
it's like a hell. There's like trenches and barbed wire and like
and barrels with fire coming out of them. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
That like they would never do that because it's like this chill game. So anyway, there's a second quest that's even harder.
Just like Zelda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's Untitled Goose Game. I beat it. I didn't beat the second quest. It's so much fun. It's hard. You got to think. It's a puzzle game. It's a stealth puzzle goose game, which is pretty good. It's not a waste of your time. And it's very chill and European. But the bell situation is saying something.
Well, if it's European, maybe the next one should take place in the States.
No, because Goose would just die.
Oh, that's true.
The Goose just goes to the yard.
Yeah, in the European cities, they're all nice. They're like, oh, Goosey Goose. No, no. Yeah. Here,
it'd be different.
It'd be way different. Yeah. Like I said, Project Brutality.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the Goose would be armed, too. Yeah.
The Goose would just be dead.
Yeah.
That would be it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although, you know, you go to a park and the geese like shit everywhere.
Okay.
It's not like there's like a body count. Like we kind of let, like geese kind of have carte blanche to do whatever the fuck they want.
Right. Sure.
So maybe it wouldn't be so bad.
That's true.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of envisioned like the goose going around New York City or like something like that.
Oh, that'd
and,
be
like,
fun.
What it would be.
It's like a tourist goose.
If there was a goose in like Times Square, though, that would be a shit show. And he'd get hit by a car.
No, everybody would be taking Instagram.
Taking pictures.
And
yeah.
Yeah. It'd be weird.
Yeah.
So that's Untitled Goose Game.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you very much for watching this episode of Talk About Games. As we were talking about earlier, this show is also available on Spotify, Apple. What are the other ones?
Deezer, iHeartRadio, Podbean. There's a lot of options.
So what we'd like you to do is take your mouse, take your keyboard, take your phone, whatever you've got, your laptop, and go right now and leave a review for the show and say how awesome we are and how good it is and like write a whole paragraph about how fucking good it is. And then if not, then the show's over and we're not going to do this anymore.
Oh my God. Holy crap. Yeah, and if you're still watching on YouTube after that, like and subscribe and all that fun stuff too. We'll see you next time.
Thanks a lot, guys. Bye.